Can you imagine someone starving to death and them not realizing it? Can you imagine someone that have no financial means whatsoever for any possession in this world and them not knowing it? Can you imagine someone so diseased and so sick but not realizing it? I want us to think about reaching those in need. And wherever I'm mentioning those in need, Jesus makes this statement in Matthew 26 and verse 11. For you have the poor with you always, but for me you do not have always. And there are those that are so involved in the social gospel and aspects of the social gospel. And as a matter of fact, it's becoming something of a trend and something that is becoming very serious even among brethren, where there is that aspect of following after the social gospel, that they don't take consideration what Jesus said here in Matthew 26 and verse 11. First of all, he says you'll have the poor with you always. And he gives then no solution to that situation. There's a reason he didn't give a solution to the situation. It wasn't his purpose to come and relieve every needy person, that is financially or physically in any way, to relieve them from that situation. It wasn't his purpose. Never was his purpose. And because he did not give a solution, then there is no assignment for the rectification of that condition. He didn't assign it to the church. He didn't assign it to individuals. We are to help those in need as we have opportunity. We understand that in Galatians 6, chapter verse 10. At least a principle from that. We'll talk about that more later in our study. We see the principle involved, of course, from Matthew, the 22nd chapter, and the second greatest commandment that Jesus mentioned, love thy neighbor as thyself. But even in that, it doesn't relieve the condition, the human situation and condition of the poor, of poverty in any sense whatsoever, because it's going to just be present as long as this earth is. Could Jesus miraculously have fed everybody on the face of the earth and continue to do so? Yes, he could. Again, it's not his purpose. He makes the statement at the end of this verse, but me you do not have always. He's talking about his physical presence here upon this earth. We have him spiritually, and that through his word that he left us, but we don't have him physically here, and that's the point that he's making, of course, as he is being anointed with oil prior to his death. But yet, there are those that are in need, but not this physical need, but rather those that are in spiritual need. And Jesus does address this. Whenever he goes to his hometown in Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 16 through 21, he comes to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And this is what it says. And this is from Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. None of those things that he mentioned there is about the physical aspect of poverty. It's not about relieving every disease that's upon the face of the earth. When Jesus left from this earth, wherever he ascended into heaven, he still left people that were impoverished. He still left people that were sick. He still left people that were hurting. People that were in need from the physical standpoint. But wherever he left from this earth, he left the capability for none to be in that situation spiritually. And it's something that we need to think about, because as we look at those round about us, think about what Jesus addresses here. Preach the gospel to the poor. There are those in abstract poverty spiritually. that are all around us and do not realize that they are. As a matter of fact, it needs to be pointed out to them that they are in that poverty. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And there are those that are brokenhearted in the world, some that realize it from the standpoint of the spiritual nature, some that do not. Just something is missing in their life. And they really can't put it into words, but they wonder what it is. And you know, here we are as children of God to present to them what that is, what that problem is. The answers to questions that they have, such as, why am I here? And since I am here, what am I to do? And he says to proclaim liberty to the captives. And we are in a world full of those that are in bondage today. Not physically. Some are, but not physically. Even those that are physically in bondage, not all of them are spiritually in bondage, and not all are set free. And then he says, and recovery of sight to the blind. And we are in a world where there are many blind people in the world. I'm talking about spiritual blindness. And he says to those who are oppressed to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, that which is required from God, and all for the benefit of these conditions that he mentions here in Luke 4 chapter. Verse 18 through 19, which was, of course, prophecy concerning Christ. And he says then about that, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, not that it had been rectified immediately just by his coming, but that the potential was there by what he would leave. And that is God's word. You see, we're in this world where all these things are afflicting people. And Jesus is the answer, and there is solution to every one of these that he mentions. Not to the physical that we talked about, but to the spiritual. He gives solution to every one. Every one of these things that he mentions can be rectified. But do you know who that comes through for that correction? What it comes through is God's word. We understand that, but who it comes through is you and I. You and I, as we walk this world and we see all these needy round about us. The message to the spiritual needy, Jesus starts out with, first of all, recognize your poverty. And you know, that is something that is really hard to do, especially in the United States of America, especially in most regions of America, where there is not poverty. And from a spiritual standpoint, where it's not recognized that people are in poverty because of such the satisfaction that they have not living in physical poverty. I made mention to you before about preaching at the prison. And those people recognizing the need that they had. And so many in today's world don't recognize that need whatsoever. They haven't hit rock bottom. They haven't been caught. They haven't realized the hardships that are there. And because of that, we need to point that out. And Jesus says concerning that in Matthew the 5th chapter, verse 3, beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, where he mentions the Beatitudes, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And when he mentions the poor in spirit, it's not poor economically, it's not destitute, from an economic standpoint, but poor or destitute of a proud, haughty, arrogant spirit that would keep them from God's rule or serving God. And that's what he's talking about there. First of all, recognize poverty. Well, who is going to help them recognize their poverty where there is satisfaction in the way that they live? Well, you see, you and I, that's our job as children of God. And we point out to them, you don't realize you are in absolute need. And the reason being is that you are poor in spirit. You need to look to Christ Jesus to get out of that condition. And we can do that using God's word, because there is the solution. He gives the solution to that. And he says in connection with that, those that recognize that, back in Matthew 5 and verse 3, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is place himself under the rule of God in his kingdom. And so they are blessed. But not only that, We also see in Psalm 40 and verse 17, "As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God." That's a psalmist that is speaking this, David. And you think about him being a man after God's own heart, but yet he recognized his frailties and his failings. And so he makes that statement, "I'm poor and needy." He was always in need, just as each and every one of us are always in need of God's direction, God's deliverance through His Word. Luke 8, chapter verse 13, we have the account in just a few verses earlier in this of two men that went to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, trusting in himself. The other one a tax collector, hated by the Pharisee that was with him at that time. And the Pharisee prayed, and of course we remember, and I'll just give you the essence of the prayer. "God, thank you so much for who I am. I'm self-satisfied in who I am. I'm doing exactly what I want to do and what I need to do, and I'm perfect in your sight, and thank you for not allowing me to be like that tax collector standing over there." And the tax collector, verse 13, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he beat upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You see, he recognized his need of in things of the Spirit. He recognized his derelict condition as he stood before God. We also see when we look in the 34th Psalm in verse 18, the psalmist says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit, those that are not proud, not haughty, but look to the Lord for direction." Again, 51st Psalm verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken heart, a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. The others he will." And so we understand then that the message to the spiritual needy is recognize your poverty. That's the message we need to get out there to them. But if we make determination of ourselves separate and apart from God's word, "I don't need to mention it to this person because they are satisfied in their religion. They're happy. They're doing what they want to do. Life is going well for them. They're being blessed. They make a lot of money. They're not in need in any way, shape, or form. There's nothing wrong with them physically. Who am I then to present to them that they're in need?" Well, you are a herald of God's word as a child of God to let them really know about their condition. If we don't do that, then we turn our back on one that is truly in need. And our job is not to do that as children of God. But also, the message to the spiritual needy is to mourn your condition. Mourn your condition. We see that when we look in verse 4 of Matthew, the 5th chapter. "Blessed are those who mourn." Blessed are those, well, who's he talking about, those that mourn? Be happy when you have a family member that dies and mourn. Be happy every time you're able to go to a funeral. Be happy every time somebody gets sick and you go over to visit them. Be happy. That's not what he's saying. Jesus is talking about mourning for their sins and also for the sins of others. The attitude that recognizes the destructive nature of sin. That's what he's speaking of. The Lord saw no joy in those passing from this life. He enters into the town of Nain. While a funeral procession is taking place, the coffin comes by and he raises that one from the dead. He sees the sorrow around about him. There wasn't joy in that the Lord got from those that were mourning. He did correct that situation. So here he's again talking about those that are spiritual needy from the standpoint of they don't recognize that they are living in the degradation and filthiness of sin. When we look over in James 4, chapter verse 8 through 10, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom." And here he's not giving a wish for all Christians. I want all Christians to walk around with their head hung down, never happy at any point in time, always in a mourning position, that's mourning, always dissatisfied, unhappy, and crying. That's not what he's saying. Recognize your condition. And he says, whenever you do that then, humble yourselves before the Lord, and you'll be brought forth from that condition. But how do the people that are in the world today that don't know that they need to be in mourning, how do they ever come to the realization of the fact that they do need to come to be in mourning? We tell them. As children of God, we tell them, we let them know. Over in the 126th Psalm, verse 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joy, shouts of joy. Here he's talking about those that come to a realization of their condition, that they are impoverished, that they are in absolute need. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with the shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. And that is teaching the lost. Because, you see, he will not return home empty. Home we could think of as heaven as far as an application is concerned. But bringing those with him that he has presented God's word to and those that accepted it. In Ecclesiastes 7 chapter verse 2 through 5, Solomon, of course, is debating what this life is about. And he says there, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. You see, there are times when he's saying it's better to go where there is a death that is taking place, where there is reality that is set in. Because, you see, in the house of feasting, those things are not recognized. They are not looking at the solemn, somber truths of life. And he says, sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face the man's heart is glad. There is an outcome that is positive. The heart of the wise is in his house of mourning. That's because wisdom is taken unto themselves and not looking where true wisdom comes from. But the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the songs of fools. And so all of this is about the recognition of the fact that the people that we look to, that are friends, that are family and so forth, we help them to realize you're in a sad state. You need to be mourning for the condition that you're in, rather than glorying about all the things that you might have, the merchandise and so forth. And then also, the message to the spiritual needy is to seek the truth. Matthew 5 and verse 6 in that same sermon, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He's talking, it is the longing for and recognition of God's word that provides true spiritual sustenance. It is where a person gets to the point of, I don't have the answers. I don't know how to take care of the situations. I don't know how to get true forgiveness. I don't know what to do with my sin. I don't know. I don't know what is expected of me. And this is where we step in as children of God, to those that would have that heart who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Unfortunately, there are so many that will not come to that point in their life. They just don't care. They don't care about God's word. Things are just clicking right along for them and so forth. And they never get to that point because, you see, truth doesn't matter because truth is a moving target for them. Well, it is those that would be blessed then would be those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, that realizes there's more that is afforded them than just what this life supplies. And that's your job and my job to help them know. But what about when this life is over? What will you do? What about when it's over? Because you see, you are wonderfully made, not only physically, but you're made after the image of God. Spiritually, you will endure for all eternity, but what will that eternity hold for you? And there are those that don't give thought to that. They don't think about it because they're living in the here and now. There's an aspect to living in the here and now that is good, but that's a bad part of living in the here and now, where they don't think about eternity. And so, as we look at this, we understand then, just as mentioned in John 14, chapter and verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus covers all aspects then in connection with those that would hunger and thirst for righteousness. And he has the answer to that, the solution. Come unto me. I am the way. I'll show you the way that you are to walk in this life. I am the truth. There is an absolute truth, and I speak it, and there is the life. I will show you how to live this one and the one that is to come. And that's what the Lord is saying, and that is what we are to do as children of God, to help them see that they need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. When we look over Matthew 7, verse 7 through 8, Jesus said, and this is a blank check he gives, ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. You see, in every aspect of the spiritual needy, there's a solution to get out of that condition and that situation. And he gives the blank check, ask and you will ask and it will be given to you. That's all you look into God's word, the answer is there. Seek, it's findable. Knock, the door will be open to you so that you enter into fellowship with God. We need, as children of God, to show those round about us that door, Christ Jesus, that way that he had set forth for us. That which is given by God, to which there is absolute solution. And so I ask this afternoon, are you in spiritual need? Are you in spiritual need? I know I've probably presented this somewhat from the standpoint of those that have never obeyed the gospel of Christ Jesus. But it also is a question we need to ask ourselves. When you go back to Luke 18 chapter with the Pharisee and the publican, you understand there he's not talking about those that are outside a covenant relationship with God. They were in a covenant relationship with God. And that publican, that tax collector says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do we recognize our need as children of God? You see, we really can't help others till we recognize our own need. We need to recognize that. Matthew 11, chapter verse 28 through 30. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You understand that we teach people coming out of this derelict situation that you're in, this aspect of poverty, in need, hurting, and so forth. There's an answer, and that answer is Christ Jesus. The answer is Christ Jesus. And we can help lead them there if we will. Learn. He said, learn of me. When we look over in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, where do we go to for learning anything about God's Word? Well, we presented a lesson this morning on the Bible. That's where we go. Jesus, just before he left this earth and ascended back into heaven, makes this statement as recorded in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All authority in heaven and earth is mine. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why? It corrects that spiritual need. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Why? It keeps them in relationship, fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And he says then, and behold, when that takes place, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. There's the solution to those that are in need. Not alone anymore. Not wondering, what must I do? Not wondering why I'm here. Because you see us teaching them, and if they believe it and they are obedient, they come to that knowledge. Oh, that is why. That is why there's never any satisfaction in this world. Because people look after things that are physical, and so the physical is never satisfied. But in Christ Jesus there is satisfaction. Find the rest. Romans 6, 17 through 18. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You see, there's the rest. It's from the bondage that sin puts people in, and we have the key. It's been given to us by God to open up the prison door and to let them out, if only we will. And so I ask you this evening, are we reaching the needy? Are we doing as the Lord has instructed us to do? Or are we so afraid that we say, well, you know, maybe I'll lead them in the wrong direction if I tell them the truth in God's word? That's impossible. That is not possible. Since he is the way, the truth, and the life, if we teach God's word to them, they will not be led in the wrong direction. They may not come to the truth. They may reject it. But if they follow it, they're going to be following God's will. The question is, do we have strength enough to really do that? Or are we using our own judgment? Are we teaching the needy? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.